hello and welcome to Misbehave, the podcast where we explore human behavior in a business context. Season 2 of Misbehave is all about uncovering behavioral patterns which create success in life and business. We're joined by highly driven, accomplished individuals to assess their behavioral patterns and dive into how behaviors have influenced their journey. Strategically planning your work environment for maximum productivity should be a non-negotiable. Where people sit, who they work with, collaboration or non-collaboration, whether it's noisy or quiet, in the office or work from home, all impact workplace performance in big ways. In this episode, we talk about all of the different considerations to creating a high-performing work environment and the two types of people you will meet along the way. So let's dive into why work environment matters. This seems to be one that's been talked about more and more and more post-COVID. But often the conversations are slightly different to what we're going to talk about today, because often they're stemming around this thought process of the nice to have culture driven work environment and less about creating an environment that stimulates performance and productivity and enables individuals to do their best work. Because that's really what it's about, isn't it? I mean, yeah, you can do the pool tables. Yes, you can do the lunch tables and the collaborative areas and all of the stuff that is nice to have from a culture and workplace environment perspective. So we're not talking about not doing those things, but actually they don't directly drive up performance and productivity. What we're going to talk about today is how you can stimulate some of that in even how you plan where people sit in the office.
Yeah, and this is a critical one in the sense of how you group people together, how you organise your office, what your policies are around hybrid working, and where do you sit on consciously thinking as a leader or a manager on the infrastructure of your organisation and how you put people together. Because to drive up productivity, people need to be put in the right places. And I have made the mistakes on this one before I knew what I know now. So we're going to share some of those mistakes and things that we've learned along the way. So some of you might be sitting thinking, well, I don't have flexibility with my office. But what we're going to talk about here isn't sort of fancy layout. It's actually about how you group people. It might actually be some of the policies you have around people being able to wear headphones, not have headphones, use an instant message. Can they work from home? Can they not? Who do we put in offices on their own? How do we group people together on project teams? So it's all this practical stuff, but it's actually linked to a behavioral pattern, which is about your working preference. And that is about how you work your most productively. And often people get this wrong because we know post-COVID, lots of people had to make a shift and work from home. And then suddenly they're now being brought back into the office, or they have been over the last year or so. And people are like saying, well, now we're more productively at home. This behavioral pattern is actually going to shine a light on that. So listen up.
And it's interesting because workplace planning for years has been more about, and still is to an extent, more about spatial design, right? And you've got people who do workplace planning and they're more like an interior designer. And okay, yeah, it's nice to have a nice office to work in. But actually, there are some real considerations around how you plan that. And it should be less trend-based. You know, we had that piece where it was cool and trendy to have an open plan office. And most people moved to that. We then went through the era of agile working and putting mixed project teams together. We're now in the era of hybrid. And actually, some people still have open plans, some people don't. So there are trends that appear as we go through time, but actually the common denominator across all of these is understanding the two types of people that you've got at work from a working preference perspective and how to provide an environment that's productive for both of them, irrespective of what the spatial design of your office looks like. Like Sarah said, there's ways to create pockets. So Maybe we'll start by diving into the two types of people that you will meet when it comes to work and preference. And then we can draw some parallels. Do you want to start with yours, your dominant?
Yeah, I'll start with mine. Again, Laura and I differ on percentage split for this.
Yeah.
So the first one is known as proximity. And proximity is, it is what it says, it's where you like to work in proximity to others. So it's where you are more productive doing collaborative work and you really enjoy sort of shared responsibility. So getting together, working with other people and working through tasks often as a collective, you are definitely less impacted by interruptions. You can kind of switch in and out of your concentration if people are asking questions, shouting across the desk. You can kind of get involved and then go back, and it doesn't impact your productivity as much as the one Laura is going to describe. So for example, for me, I'm much more productive working in an environment where there are people around me. So even if Laura's working separately, if we're in this proximity to each other, or we're working on projects together, that is where I work most productively. And, you know, this is something to really consider when you're pulling together project groups and things, because if you don't work very well in proximity to other people, that interruption bit that I've just described can have a massive negative impact on your productivity.
Yeah. So the opposite edge of the coin, it's interesting as we're having this conversation, I'm just thinking about a conversation that we had about an hour before we recorded this podcast about a planning session for the new platform that we're launching, and we sat in our behaviours exactly. So I was like, why can't we just all get in a room together for a whole day? And I was like, do we need to all be together? Can we not just like carve up the pieces and everybody does their own bit? So that was just a little light bulb for me there. But the second behavioural pattern is called independent. And what it means is these types of people work more productively when they work independently. Now, that is usually with total responsibility for their own work. And that's a big caveat with this, because it doesn't always mean that they have to work completely quietly and away from everybody else. You know, you can have independent people in an office environment, but you probably don't want to put them right in the middle of all the noise and all of the chaos. They will work better when they have really independent space. So that could be on the peripheral of an office. If you work in an open plan office, your independent people will be the people who will work better with headphones in. They will be the people where they might ask to go and work from home a couple of days a week. They might say, you know what, I'm working on something, can I go and work in a meeting room or a conference room? They work better independently. And then the second half of that is they work better when they have total responsibility. So it's not that they don't like a team or like people. And I'm putting that in as a caveat, because when we do a behavioural work with people, there is a whole host of behaviours that we look at, right? And usually people who are independent have some other behaviours in them that drive a people piece. But that wanting to work with total responsibility, they don't love shared working. So as an example, if you're in a project team together to work on something, your independent people will probably say to you, what's my piece? What's my bit? What's my deadline? Doesn't mean they won't interact with others in the team, but they want to know that. Proximity people are more comfortable with shared working. Now, there's pros and cons to that, right? Like, you're independent people, it'll be much clearer around what they're accountable for, but they might be less likely to collaborate with others on it. On the flip side, your proximity people, sometimes you've got to be much clearer around accountability because the lines can blur, but they'll be better at that collaborative piece. So there's pros and cons on both sides. The independent piece is interesting because it's the one that pre-COVID, I think it's safe to say, you know, people were almost scared of it in a lot of environments. The one difference with this is if you work in tech, you are probably aware of having to be more cautious around independent. Typically roles where they require people to get their head down and do deep analysis, risk. So developers typically are more independent in nature given the work that they do. So if you work in tech and you've got a large development team, you probably are more aware of this pattern. But in other businesses, you know, pre-COVID, working from home was less common and it definitely was misunderstood. You know, there was more than one person said to me a couple of weeks after we got the work from home mandate, oh, well, won't they all just be sat watching Netflix? And there was almost that thought process that if you asked to work from home, it's because you wanted to put your washing on or you wanted to wear your slippers or whatever that is. And actually for independent people, working from home is one of the spaces that they work most productively.
Yeah. And I think just saying to the listeners that it's worth saying, if you have a working environment, and we work with lots of businesses like this where working from home is not an option, this is about creating spaces where people can put their headphones in or put a sign up to say I'm zoning out or go into a meeting room or a pod or whatever to work independently so that they're not being interrupted. This is about driving up productivity in your team. So we want people to work productively. So it's not one size fits all. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to share a couple of things. One was a blind spot of mine that Laura pointed out. This was only a few months ago too, where Laura kind of said to us, she said, we were divvying up work and I was using the shared piece. I was describing like, well, we will get together. Let us look at that. And Laura kind of said, Sarah, actually, you're using we a lot. I need to know you're going to take this bit and you're going to run with it. Otherwise, I can't pass it out of my headspace and give it to you. And that wasn't me not wanting to do the work. I was happy to do the work. But I was talking about it as a we, as a shared piece. And Laura actually said, we use the patterns when we're talking and giving feedback because that blind spot's sometimes difficult to translate if you don't. But she said to me, remember, I'm more independent than you. So
I needed to know that when Sarah was saying we, in my head I was like, if you need me to contribute to this piece, I need to know what my piece looks like.
Yeah.
Because when I'm planning work, I need to understand that. And it was such a big piece, wasn't it? But it's such a small thing, but actually being able to articulate it in that way.
Yeah. And I actually thanked Laura for the feedback because I was like, I hadn't heard myself doing it. Remember, these behaviours are subconsciously driven. They're so ingrained that often you don't even know you're doing it. Another example is where this is something I did before I had done this work a lot of years ago. But because I love change, I decided to switch up the office layout regularly. And I thought it would be good for people getting to know each other and mixing people up.
Spoken like a true proximity, by the way.
For sure. And I remember doing a big mix up and inadvertently, I didn't know this, but I had put a load of independent workers right in the middle of a load of proximities. And I started to get emails from people saying, can you put me back in the corner? I can't get any work done. There was too many people talking over the top of us. And what I had done is I'd put developers and journalists who have daily outputs, daily targets, things that they're working on independently, right in the middle of a load of marketeers and salespeople who a lot of their work was shared responsibility. And actually, they wanted to chew the fat and talk about it collaboratively. And I honestly thought people were just being disruptive and being a little bit sort of awkward. And little did I realise, this was actually massively impacting their productivity. So this is why this stuff is so important if you're leading or managing a team to understand, because the ultimate outcome, right, is to drive up performance and productivity in the business.
And that story's so true of agile working. I'm not going to name names, but if he's listening to this, he will probably remember this conversation. We had a client and I remember sitting down with one of the founders and he was like, we're going to implement agile working. I was like, okay, so tell me your interpretation of what that looks like for this business. And he was like, we're going to put agile teams together. So what that meant for them was mixing developers with user experience people, with PMs, and put them all in the mix together. And I sort of said to him, I was like, okay, why are we doing this? Because that's what tech companies do. They do agile working. I was like, all right, okay. Well, there's other elements of agile we could do. You know, you could do sprints. You could do, you know, there's pieces of the process you could implement without mixing a load of proximity and independence. And pretty much what Sarah just described there was exactly what happened. The devs sat down and they were like, I can't get any work done because you guys and project managers sometimes sit in the middle. Some are more independent, some are more proximity. User experience, typically high proximity, right? They're going out, they're getting feedback, they're doing collaborative working. The devs couldn't get any work done because everybody was talking. And the user experience guys were like, God, you're so rude. Like, take your headphones out and let's have a conversation. And it caused real problems. And again, that was done with the best of intentions, right? It was done with the intention of actually, you know, they're working on the same project. How do we bring them together? Without thinking about working preference and working productivity, there's a way to get collaboration on a project while still allowing people who work better together to sit together. Mm. You know, you could set up meetings, you can set up project boards. It's about really with this, what we're doing is bringing to your attention the productivity needs of different people, looking at that first, and then looking at how you get the outcomes that you need depending on the work that you do in other ways, but not overriding productivity in order to create an outcome.
And, you know, I was delivering a session yesterday with a client of ours, and we were looking at scenarios around how would you choose the right people to put in the right scenarios, like the right projects. So say, for example, you have a very collaborative project that needs executing, like finding your proximities is going to be a great idea. It doesn't mean you might not need the input from someone who's more independent, but a collaborative piece with clients and things, you've got to just play your best people in the right positions, right? So I think with this one, this is definitely about productivity, as we've talked about, but it's also about the person feeling productive. Yeah. And feeling happy in their environment. You are a product of your environment. And all of the nice stuff that Laura described at the start is super important from a values and culture. Sometimes we need to entice the independents to come and have lunch and play a game of pool or whatever it might be. So that's important to create the right spaces. But it's also about individual working environments.
If you're curious to know more about your leadership behaviours, click the link in our show notes to get 20% off a Leadership DNA profile. So let's look at both sides of the coin and how to manage that, because this is about not wearing, you know, we always say about behavioural patterns, don't wear them like a badge. They are not an excuse for bad behaviour, and they're not something of like, oh, I'm just independent, therefore I don't do teamwork. And like, that's not what this is about. It's about understanding where you sit, where your team sit, and how you play them in that place the majority of the time, but then where you need them to flex accordingly. So if we look at independence, first of all, you know, they're going to work better when they can work more independently. So if you don't have a work from home option, put them on the peripheral somewhere, right? Don't sit them in the middle of an open plan office where there's lots of noise, lots of conversation, lots of chaos around them. Put them on the end of the desk, next to a window, put them somewhere where there is limited noise and interruption around them, and or give them permission to wear headphones. You know, there's another story about a client, and we now fondly refer to this as headphone gate. They were, or are, a client where they do a lot of working that's very, very independent in nature. And they brought in a new ops director who was more proximity. And he came into the business and he was like, wow, you walk into this office, it's really quiet. And bear in mind that most of the people, like 90% of the team, are independent and need to be for the job that they do. I'm not going to talk about too much about what they do, otherwise you would know who it was. But he came in and he said, right, no headphones. And they used to use Skype chat to chat between them. Now, the reason that they used Skype was so that they didn't interrupt. And I'm going to talk about interruptions in a second for independence. So that they didn't interrupt somebody's workflow, and that someone could see the message when they took a step back from something and then respond. He came in and he banned chat and he banned headphones. He was like, we're in an open plan office, you should be able to just talk to each other. And their productivity tanked. And not just their productivity, but like Sarah said before, their engagement, their motivation, how happy they were at work. And it was because he came in, again, well-meaning, right? Or we need to create a better environment. But actually, there were other ways to do that. So they took a step back, they put the headphones and they put the chat back in. But then they said, yeah, you know what? We need to find time to come together. So they actually created some almost routines and habits around, right, nobody's going to eat at their desk anymore. We're going to create a shared space where we can all go and have lunch. They started to integrate much more social stuff that they would do outside of work. So they stimulated that people piece in a different way, but in a way that didn't impact productivity. So just to talk a little bit about interruptions, and this is something we talk in our team a lot, because I am the only higher independent. I'm not super high. I've still got a bit of proximity in me, but I'm the only independent person in our team. Independent people don't do as well with interruptions when they're in the middle of a flow. So it is more important to not just shout a question across a desk when someone who's more independent is working, because if you knock them out of your flow, and Sarah's smirking at this because our team do this all the time.
And so does Laura, but it's a different pattern talking. That's why I'm laughing.
And it does, it knocks you out because independent people take longer to then get back into the thing that they're in because they're really in the zone working. Now, what it doesn't mean is that proximity people can't be working on something complicated and not need to be interrupted, but it impacts more. So if you are independent, and often we get people who are independent who are managers, and they'll say to us, but how do I manage that as a manager or a leader of a team? Because I need to be accessible. Again, just put in place rhythms. You know, we used to have a little joke that we had an intern that worked in our team. He was high proximity. He was as eager as anything and would just ask questions all the time. So I put him on question time. So question time was you have 3 times throughout the day where you can ask your questions. And he would save up his questions and then would take half an hour and I'd answer them all. And then he had until the next question time. And that's a flippant example, right? But if you know as a leader or a manager, you are more independent, communicate with your team. Listen, I'm here for you. I'm here to answer your questions. If I had my headphones in, if I'm working in a meeting room, you just need cues and signals. We've got some clients where they put a little sign on their desk, whatever it is. When I'm in my independent zone, please don't interrupt me unless the building is burning down. And at other times, I'm here for you and I'm available, but you've got to create that balance because we've also had people who've said, well, I'm a manager and I'm a leader, so I just can't be independent. So they make themselves fully available and then they're on the brink of a divorce because they work on a weekend and they work at night to catch up. So yeah, you've got to manage that.
And I think from the flip side, with proximity, you also need to have the self-discipline and the self-awareness that when you need to concentrate, that you do zone out, yeah, and that you give yourself permission to not be accessible because you feel like that's you being rude if you're not. Mm-hmm. And for me, some of my most productive times on a train journey, because I can zone out, nobody rings us on the train because the signal's not usually very good, but that's like super, super productive. Now I'm proximity, but just so people aren't confused, there are absolutely times if you're working on detail or you need focus, you do need some of that independent. And it's the same vice versa. If you're independent, sometimes you need the collaborative feed. You need to feel stimulated by other people.
It's what you need more of, isn't it? Yeah. Like if we stuck you at home full time, as someone who's high proximity, your motivation would tank. Vice versa, if I was in the office full time, 5 days a week, I know I'm not as productive. But it doesn't mean that you don't need a mix. Most people need a mix of the two. So this is not about being really didactic and really black and white with it. It's about understanding where you're most productive, but then where are the flex points in that?
As we normally do, we also talk about balance. So if you are more balanced, so like say you're 50-50 or 60-40, that usually means that it will depend on the type of work you're doing. Mm. So if it's really detail work, there might be certain types of work where you really need to do that independently and you're way more productive, and there might be other types of work that you like to do more in a more of a collaborative space. So that just means it will depend and you'll be able to flex up and down easier. It will have less impact on your productivity.
So your proximity people are going to work most productively in and around people, like Sarah said before. So that's going to be, you know, they're going to want collaborative working opportunities. They're going to want to be able to sit at their desk and have conversation. Again, I think this is something that's evolved, but I remember when I first started informal work, there was still that almost like poo-pooing of like having personal conversation at your desk at work. I think that's become much more accepted now, but genuinely proximity people need to process ideas and thoughts and information out loud. So there will be people that want to talk more. There'll be people that just want to throw questions or ideas across the desk. So again, making space for that. If you've got an open plan office, maybe creating areas where that conversation can happen without disrupting other people.
Like we've got a social area we go down to and we do those kind of conversations. It's still a desk and area, but it's where social conversations more, or open conversation, even if it's not about personal life, it's where ideas and stuff can be shared. Yeah. Let's just have a little look at what the impact of post-COVID has had on decision-making, because we've seen a massive U-turn in everybody sort of switching to a hybrid working environment post-COVID. And then we've seen some big organisations now that have been cross-checking their productivity, have seen that productivity has definitely gone down, and they're now bringing people back into the office and making it almost a non-compromise. Google have done it. We get asked this question a lot around what should people be doing, what should businesses be doing, and the tables seem to have turned, Laura.
And it sends shivers down me when I hear, I mean, there's been news articles out just this last week around big organisations making very bold, very black and white statements of for or against, but fully for or fully against. You know, post-COVID, you had those organisations where they went fully remote. They just removed any environment where you could come together. And equally, we're now seeing the swing the opposite way of you categorically cannot be as productive working from home, therefore we're banning home working. That's a dangerous place to be, to look at it that black and white. Now listen, there are environments, like we've said a couple of times throughout this, where working from home does not work based on the environment that you have. But what you cannot do is say that there is only one way of working that is productive, because what you're likely to do, and actually when we look at all the behavioural patterns that we work with businesses, usually you've got, you know, 60% of people are typically this, 40% of people. We genuinely see pretty much a 50-50 split with this. So what we can say is, if you have a work environment that just caters to, say, for example, independent people, you've made everybody remote, there's not as many options for collaborative working on Zoom, because there are ways to become collaborative remotely, or you've gone the opposite and said, right, we're all going to come back into the office full time. All we've got is open plan working. No, you can't wear your headphones. You know, I'm talking about extremes here. Again, you've just turned off the productivity of 50% of your workforce. So I think you've got to approach this with, first of all, you've got to work with what you've got, right? So if you have an environment that's open plan, you can't do that much about it, apart from you could maybe start to put in things like booths or the kind of like what we've got, where we've got a social hub area. Vice versa, if you've got people that are spread out across the world now, which a lot of businesses did post-COVID, and you can't bring people together, well, then how do you stimulate it in other ways? You know, we had Janelle Teeps from Bugaboo on our podcast. You'll be able to find that episode, and her team are fully remote, pretty much. You know, Bugaboo has a head office in New York where she's based, but a lot of her team are based all over the world. So they do it remotely, but they stimulate proximity through Teams meetings. They do a mandatory get together once a quarter where everybody comes together for a couple of days. So there are ways to stimulate, but really what we're saying with this is be purposeful. Mm-hmm. Figure out where people sit and look at your limitations within your work environment, and then create spaces, purposeful, conscious spaces for both of those people to shine, so that you've got that ability. And bear in mind that sometimes what people say that they like is not where they're most productive. We've definitely had that post-COVID where we've had clients where they've said, oh, well, so-and-so says they don't want to come back in the office. But when I looked at their behavioural profile, they're actually high proximity. Remember, there is a difference between liking to work from home because you can wear your slippers and your pyjamas on the bottom half and being productive at home. So just don't confuse the two. Sometimes people will say they like something, doesn't mean they're productive in it.
Yeah, it's also often about you've created a new norm and that feels familiar and it's more convenient. Absolutely. So yeah. Therefore, that's what you feel like you prefer. And, you know, this is obviously linked to managing change. The COVID conversation definitely is. And people have got opinions about it, strong opinions. I think have an open mind if you're leading a business with this, because you potentially might have a very strong view and enforce that view, and it might not necessarily be the best decision for the business. That's why we're highlighting this as a discussion point, right? Because we've interviewed lots of people on this podcast, and people have lots of different environments, they have lots of different practices. It's just about you being open to thinking about it, being strategic about it, but then also having the conversations. And sometimes they're hard, because if you've made all of your people remote and then suddenly you're changing the goalposts again and you're now bringing them in, that's actually a lot of change to manage in a short period of time. So sometimes we have seen that some clients are making really difficult decisions to change the goalposts, or they're staying where they are just because it's easier. So you've got to remember that this is business critical. Your productivity isn't something not to look at. So, you know, be strategic and think it through. And like you said, Laura, it's about being conscious and intentional with it.
So just really to wrap up, you know, take some time to think about, usually this one you can spot. If you look around your office and look around your team, who are the people where they're constantly talking to each other, they're bringing ideas together, they're suggesting collaborative working, they're probably more of your proximity people. Who are the people that put their headphones in, zone out, ask to work from home, ask to work from a meeting room, maybe complain that there's too much noise and they can't think? They are your more independent. But equally with this one, you can ask the question. You know, during an interview, we'll ask questions like, talk us through your perfect working day. Talk us through the environment where you feel most productive. Talk us through where you enjoy work. And you'll hear those independent and those proximity words. You can ask those of your team if you feel like you can't figure it out. But really, the purpose of this was to bring consciousness to the fact that you need to really purposefully design your work environment, not just for culture, but also for productivity, and understanding that you probably got a 50-50 split.
Thank you for listening to Misbehave. Follow us so you don't miss out on other episodes.